When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're talking playoff baseball in just a moment with Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com. Hey, here's a scoop about Clarkson Eye Care. Did you know Clarkson Eye Care has optical dispensaries in every office? Their trained opticians will help you find the right fit and style from a huge selection of frames, including sports, safety, and sunglasses. All you have to do is visit clarksoneyecare.com. In just a moment, I'm going to visit with Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com. We're going to get into the San Diego Padres and the St. Louis Cardinals. Also, some of the thoughts on just baseball as a whole. How did they get to this point? Looked like we may not have baseball this summer. They did it. They pulled it off. Now they're basically in a bubble. They will award a champion. It's incredible that they did this. Here's a scoop about Clarkson Eye Care. They provide eye exams for the entire family. That includes the kids. Check out Clarkson Eye Care for your family's eye care needs. For the latest eyewear, including hundreds of designer and budget-friendly styles, choose Clarkson Eye Care. Offices all over town. ClarksonEyeCare.com. Schedule an appointment today. It's a Wednesday, as we always do. We visit with Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com. Lots to get into. The playoffs have started, and the Cardinals begin round one against the San Diego Padres. Brian Walton, every Wednesday, thecardinalnation.com. I wasn't sure, Brian, if we would ever get to this point, talking playoff baseball, much less the Cardinals being in the playoffs, but here we are. Good morning to you. How are things going?
I'm doing great, Dan. You know, I have to say, many times during the course of the year, I think you were even more optimistic than I was because, you know, let's face it, that two-week down period and, you know, the second major outbreak and half the team, you know, knocked down by the virus, you know, things looked bad. But in all fairness, you know, in all goodness, what happened with the Marlins and the Cardinals, I think, was a wake-up call for everybody in the game. And they got more serious about following the protocols. They got more serious when they found their first case. They shut down the games right away. And, you know, the rest of the season went off pretty well. And now here we are, almost to October.
I couldn't believe it. Coming back from the 4th of July weekend and reading the stories about teams, if you remember this, there were teams that were missing tests and they could not get on the field to even practice in summer camp 2.0. And now here we are in the playoffs. And I thought at that point, there is no way, you know, deep down, I really felt there's no way we're going to have baseball. I was optimistic. I always felt I'm going to continue to be optimistic until they tell me this thing is shut down. I have to be. This is how I make a living, and I love the game of baseball. But, man, deep down, I thought, there's no way we're going to play baseball, and yet here we are. So kudos to Major League Baseball for making this thing work.
And all the teams and all the people involved, all the people behind the scenes, you know, the people who make sure that the tests get administered and sent out. And, I mean, there's just, you know, it'll be really fun in the offseason, Dan, and I'm sure you'll probably come up with a series about this, to, you know, if the Cardinals will allow different people to be interviewed, like Adam Olson and Dr. Butler, and, you know, all the people behind the scenes to kind of hear their stories about what was going on, because I'm sure there were some incredible efforts, you know, beyond just what we hear from the faces we see every day, and the Mike Schilts and John Mozeliak.
I think that's the story, and Mike Schilt kind of alluded to that on the Zoom the other day when he said, it was like a collective deep breath for him, like, I'm so excited to be in a postseason play. It's a sense of relief, but, man, there are so many people that along the way it took to get to this point. And I do agree with you. I think that's the story. The Mark Walsh's, the Adam Olson's, the Chris Conroy's of the medical team, the people behind the scenes that made this thing happen. Yes. Is it the players? Absolutely. They're the ones on the field. They're the ones that we pay to watch. But, man, there was a lot of people that made this thing go.
Absolutely. And it, and again, it's exciting. And, you know, I was a little worried at one point. I thought, well, gosh, are the Cardinals going to be satisfied just to get there, just to reach the playoffs, given all they've gone through? But I think they realize now, hey, you know, we played some great baseball under some trying conditions. Some of the comments yesterday in the workout day were sort of like, hey, this is, you know, this is really nice that we actually have a day off or two between games, and we're only playing one nine-inning game. So, you know, for them, you know, this could be a great opportunity to go deeper into the playoffs. And, you know, we know San Diego is the favorite, but I like the Cardinals' chances. The Padres' pitching is dinged up, and that's certainly an advantage for St. Louis.
We'll get into that in a moment. Rob Manfred was on a podcast yesterday saying that this current format going forward is not what he wants, with all these different teams getting in. There are teams that are under 500 that are in the playoffs. I kind of like it. This is like the field of, you know, 64 plus in college basketball. I know if you're a baseball purist, you don't like it. What do you think going forward of having all these different teams get in?
Well, when you said baseball purist, I know you were thinking about me.
Of course I was.
And that's okay, because, you know, I got to say, I think that the format needs to be adjusted, and it will be adjusted. And, you know, in a 60-game season, it's one thing. But over a 162-game season, I think the teams that win their divisions outright, you know, deserve more than just the top seeding. So I think, you know, if they come up with some type of format, maybe with 14 teams or 12 teams rather than 16, and, you know, some greater benefit to the division winners, I think, you know, that's something that we'll see going forward. And certainly the game likes the additional, you know, TV money that goes with this extra round. The only thing I don't like, Dan, is, you know, today there's going to be 8 games going on, and they're, you know, laying on top one another. I'd like to watch them all.
I'm with you. That's the only problem I have, is that I can't catch up with all of them. But I find that when the NCAA tournament's going on too, I can't catch everything, which is okay. It's a problem I got to deal with on my own. But I'll flip around. I'll try to catch as many games as I can, and it's great. If you're a baseball fan, this is kind of like your Christmas morning. In terms of some of the things that happened this year, 3-batter minimum, 7-inning doubleheaders, runner at second and extra innings. Did anything really bother you or catch your attention going forward that you say, I want to keep that, or that needs to go away next year?
You know, the 3-batter minimum, that's probably something that Mike Shildt and Mike Maddux, you know, were more attuned to. But that one really seemed to be pretty seamless. Now, maybe that was because the Cardinals bullpen was so good. You know, there weren't a lot of guys that came in and got shelled on their first couple of batters and needed to get out of there. But that one I thought was pretty seamless. The runner on second and extra innings, you know, I thought it was kind of hokey. But, you know, it did keep the games moving on. And, you know, the 7-inning doubleheaders, I think we've talked about this before, that's really a product of 2020 and the weird season that it was. You know, we're not going to see, you know, whole-scale doubleheaders next year anyway. So whether they make them 7 innings or not, it's not going to affect that many games, I don't think.
However, if you want to get off days, more off days, and then add more playoff rounds, you might want to think about it. I wonder if it's on the table going forward. It could be something you look at.
Well, but the 2021 season's already been announced, right, Dan? I mean, the schedule's already out there.
Hey, the schedule changed in season this year, Brian. Anything's on the table.
Well, you got me there, but let me put it this way. I hope if they have to change the season for 2021, it's for something like that rather than a COVID outbreak that, you know, causes the game to shut down.
I am with you wholeheartedly on that one. Brian Walton of the Cardinal Nation is my guest. Let's dive into the Cardinals and the Padres. I'm with you. I know a lot of the experts have picked the Padres going away. I mean, you go on ESPN.com, MLB.com, all the major writers are picking the Padres. I just don't see it in a runaway. I love the Cardinals pitching. Pitching beats good hitting. They've got very good hitting in San Diego. I think it's a better series than maybe people are giving it credit for. Maybe that's me watching the Cardinals day in and day out, seeing their pitching, seeing that they can shorten games. I don't know. Am I wrong with this? What do you think?
Well, you know, I mean, let's face it. The two of us are probably not going to pick against the Cardinals, but I honestly do, agree, Dan. And the other thing that I touched on earlier, San Diego's pitching. San Diego may be more of a balanced team. You know, they've got a pretty good offense, pretty good pitching. But the Cardinals have exceptional pitching, and San Diego's pitching is hurt, right? Two of their starters, Denelson Lamet and
Clevinger.
Mike Clevinger are potentially not available at all, but certainly not available to start game one. And so that's, you know, that's a huge advantage for the Cardinals. And we've got Kim coming in, who's had an ERA right around 2 over the last month, and is a guy they haven't seen that is a pitch maker. And then, you know, you got the warhorse Adam Wainwright in game 2, which, you know, I really think is the pivotal game. I mean, obviously you want to win the first game, but the second game is really the one that's going to decide it. And when all things are considered, who else would you want out there in a game like that than Adam Wainwright? And then, oh my gosh, we have to settle for Jack Flaherty in game three. What a, you know, what a terrible thing that would be.
I know a lot of folks would say, why not Jack Flaherty in game one? And I just felt that looking at the body of work this year, Kim on his normal day's rest, Kim deserves this start. Wainwright definitely deserved a start. And Flaherty, to me, should go in game three. I thought it lined up the proper way that Mike Schilt went with it.
I agree. And I pulled off there because I was curious. You know, obviously the days of rest is pretty easy to figure out. But I pulled off their stats for the last month, the last 30 days, because I wanted to see what was going on. Well, obviously we knew Flaherty struggled against Milwaukee. But, you know, his ERA over the last month's over 7. And Adam Wainwright's is right in the 3.5 range. So, you know, you just say, you know, Jack's not completely on his game right now. I don't know if it's mechanics or what it is, but he's not the dominating guy that he was in the second half of 2019. So, yeah, if you why put him out there when you've got such good options? And, you know, and he'll have the extra rest in game three if he's needed.
I got to say this. I mean, the edge offensively, no matter who they play, is always going to be against the opposition. You're always going to look for somebody in that Cardinal lineup not named Goldschmidt to step up. My pick is Paul DeJong. I was seeing some things over the weekend that I liked, a couple balls going the other way. I think the 2 days off to benefit anybody, which is the entire team, but anybody that really needed it, I thought he was on fumes, was Paul DeJong. How about for you? Who's a guy offensively that you could see maybe that needed the days off and that could maybe step up in this series?
Well, I agree with you about DeJong, first of all. I mean, you know, it happened last year, and, you know, it sort of happened again this year because he's so indispensable in the middle of the order, was not, you know, hitting on all cylinders. They just, Mike Schilt couldn't afford to sit him. You know, I haven't seen Colton Wong really break out this year yet. And I think that if he did and you could, you know, get some more damage at the top of the order, that would be really something to see. I know a lot of folks are excited about Dylan Carlson, and, you know, it's going to be some, you know, significant pressure if he gets put, you know, in the middle of the lineup again, like we saw at the end of the season in the playoffs. I don't know if that's fair to him. And then, of course, Harrison Bader, who, you know, who was the best hitter on the team the last week of the season. And you just hope in his case that the 2 days off didn't cause him to, you know, lose that edge that he clearly had at the plate.
I think being overlooked a little bit going into this series, and I'm fascinated how Mike will use him, is Giovanni Gallegos. We don't know how the back end of games will unfold for the Cardinals. Now, if you look at Sunday, he used him for 2 innings because Gomber went 4 innings, had the long inning to sit because the Cardinals had a good offensive half inning, wasn't as sharp when he went back out. Then you're trying to figure out where Gallegos is off, coming off the injury, and he gave you 2 really good innings. It was kind of typical Giovanni Gallegos. I think he could be a weapon in multiple roles. I'm fascinated to see where he fits in the bullpen, because if you have a Gallegos, Cabrera, Reyes to get to like a Miller, Gant, if Gant is healthy enough to pitch, man, that becomes a totally different outlook with your bullpen depending on how he fits and slides into that bullpen.
I agree with you, Dan. And what Mike Schilt told us yesterday in the workout day talk was that what we've seen from the bullpen late in games is what we're going to continue to see. So he didn't mention names, but obviously you've got Alex Reyes and Andrew Miller, and then you know, Cabrera setting up from the left side. You've always got Tyler Webb in there as well. And Gallegos has now sort of moved into this spot where he comes in after the starter leaves, and they really need to, you know, shut down the other team. Maybe the Cardinals have just taken a lead and it's the middle of the game and they've got to find a way to bridge to the back, you know, end of the bullpen. And, you know, Mike Schilt has a lot of confidence in all three of those guys. He's called Gallegos, Cabrera, and Reyes his three amigos.
In terms of other games that interest, pique your interest, whether it be American League Series, National League Series, is there a series that for Brian Walton you're really paying attention to because you're like, that's a series I got to watch? Those two teams really pique my interest.
Absolutely. And it's in the National League, and you wouldn't believe it if you thought that, you know, when you realize they're the 2 7 seeds, but it's Cincinnati at Atlanta. I mean, nobody's played better than the Reds over the last, 3 weeks or so. And the Braves are, of course, a powerhouse. And I think, you know, the Reds are the kind of team that, you know, if they continue to get hot, you know, they could make a deep, deep run into the playoffs. And, but, you know, Atlanta's been so good and they have such, you know, such a strong team. That's a series that I think, even no matter what the oddsmakers say, I think it's a toss-up, and it's one that I'm really, really looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, Trevor Bauer, Sonny Gray, Castillo against Ozuna, Freddie Freeman could be the MVP. That's going to be fun to watch. Finally,
By the way, Dan, if I could interrupt for a minute, just talking about coming back from COVID, think about that. Think about how sick Freddie Freeman was.
Yes.
And for him to come back and not only play well, but to be the potential MVP in the league is pretty amazing.
Well, and you could have had his situation shut down the league. When you think about it, you have a potential MVP, a big star in your league. He gets COVID, and by all accounts, a very serious issue with it for 24, 48 hours. That's the kind of thing that can shut down the league. You know, if you have a big star that gets it, remember at that time period where we were in with the game, that's the kind of thing that shuts down the league. So it's not to be forgotten, for sure.
No, it's quite a story.
It is. What are you working at thecardinalnation.com?
Well, I went through my playoff roster predictions, put up a story about the long journey that Alex Reyes has been on, you know, having been signed way back in 2012 and, you know, now finally getting his first opportunity to shine in the postseason. And you know, he's a guy that, you know, I have a feeling he may follow the path that Carlos Martinez followed a year ago, which was, you know, do I want to start, give me a chance in spring training, and they'll go from there. He's just, you know, he has such tremendous talent. I think the end is not still close for Alex Reyes. I think there's a lot more ahead.
Couldn't agree more. Hey, Brian, these are always fun. We'll catch up next Wednesday.
Take care, Dan.
That's Brian Walton, every Wednesday.